Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, good morning, Great Northwest. In studio with me this morning, we have a full crew. We've got Carl Jepson with the Warren Allen Law Firm. Morning,
good,
Carl.
Good morning.
And Kevin Stege with the Baker Coastal CPA Firm.
Hello, gentlemen.
Well, guys, I got to tell you, it was an exciting, exciting week in the stock markets. And unless you live in a cave somewhere and you have no idea what's going on, I call it reality has set in. And been saying for a long time, real earnings in the market are not there. Real growth in this country is not there. And listen, folks, just to get it straight on the political scene, I don't care whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. If you're an investor, go back and look at the day the music died, 12/31/99, and you go back and look at the last 15 years, and I'm telling you, this country is not in good shape. Not in good shape. And if you're an investor and you've been investing in the market, you might be, over the last 15 years, if you're real lucky, might be up by 2 or 3%. And that's not exciting news to an investor, I wouldn't think. But listen, this show is not about us. It's all about you. So if you've got a question, we've got answers. So pick up the phone, give us a call. And if you are a person who is too shy to pick up the phone and give us a call, you can send me a message at www.investingsimplifiedradio.com, and you can ask us a question. You can ask a question to Carl or Kevin, and we can answer it online or on the web, either one. Or we can do it live. And not Memorex, it's live. This is a live show, by the way. Most financial shows that air in Oregon or in the Great Northwest are recorded shows. They're not live. Our show is actually live. We will answer questions. And if we don't have the answer, we will find it for you. But we will get you an answer. I'm going to get right into the market. And but please, if you have a question, pick up the phone, give us a call. This is your opportunity to talk to an estate planning attorney, a CPA who has also done estate taxes and understands estate laws and taxes very well, and a financial advisor. So pick up the phone, give us a call. We'll have answers for your questions, right?
That's right.
Well, listen, I'm going to just do a very quick market update because, like I said, unless you live in a cave and aren't an investor, then you probably aren't interested in this anyway. But if you take a look at the Dow Jones, closed at 17,425 on 12/31/15 this week. On January 8th, it closed at 16,346.45. So since the turn of the new year, it is down 6.6% in a week. Now, the S&P, which is more volatile, obviously, than the Dow Jones, the S&P closed at 2,058.90 on 12/31/15, and on 1/8/2016 closed at 1,922, and that's down 7.1%. 1-2% in a week. But listen, folks, I've been saying on the show, and I did talk about it last summer, 1 week in August last year, the market went down 12.5. For you people who know how to go on Yahoo Finance and look at the S&P, go on there and take a look at that thing. Go on and take a look at the volatility over the last 1 year of the S&P 500. The S&P 500, I believe August 20 or 17th or the 25th, went down 12.5%. And guess what? It's never recovered. You don't hear this on the news. You don't hear it on the financial shows. I listen to these financial shows and I wonder, what the hell world are these people living in? Because they never talk about what's really going on with the earnings on the market. And look, when it comes down to investing, yeah, you can work with an advisor like me, or you can work with an attorney and do your estate plan, or you do your taxes. But in reality, there's a lot of responsibility that falls on you, the individual. Like, you need to have common sense. You need to look at things. If somebody's telling you they're going to charge you $5,000 to do something, and you check around and find out you can get it done for two, you know, maybe you might do it for two. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe not. Depends if you get more money than brains. But the fact is, you need to work with people who know what they're doing, but you need to have common sense about what you're doing. And if you're looking at an investment portfolio, the first question I would be asking anybody I work with, not what you've done in a year, not what you've done in 2 years, show me what you've done for this decade. Show me what you've done. Don't tell me what you hypothetically want to do. Show me what the heck you did. Now, I know, you know, there's a reason why the government, after the Great Depression, came up with average annual return and also made the statement that you can't use past results to tell future returns. We've all heard that, right? But let me ask you a question. If you're going to build a house, are you going to hire a contractor who's never built a house before? Or are you going to talk to the contractor and say, hey, show me some houses that you built? It might be kind of nice to know that you built a house 10 years ago and the damn thing's still standing. The roof isn't leaking. The walls aren't falling down. I mean, wouldn't you just kind of look at something and say, wouldn't it be nice that you actually did this? I mean, is that common sense or what?
I don't know, though, but I'd always wondered about, you know, the doctor that, you know, says, yeah, I just graduated from barber school. And
barber school? Whoa. You know, yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to do a quick stock update here. I got just a couple more minutes, but these are things you need to know. If you take a look at the Dow Jones, when we had the last correction in the market, the Dow Jones on 10/9/07 closed at 14,164. Since that period of time, as of the close of yesterday, the Dow Jones has done 1.87%. Now, if we go all the way back to 12/31/99, the Dow Jones closed at 11,497.12. The Dow Jones is up 2.81% for the first 15 years in 1 week of the new century. Don't get excited. I got to tell you, that's exciting stuff, 2.81%. Now, I get a lot of emails from people who get mad at me because I never talk about the NASDAQ. Because to me, the NASDAQ, if you're 25 or 45, yeah, you should be investing in it. If you're older, I would certainly stay away from it because the NASDAQ, for the first 15 years and 1 week of this century, is up. I need a drum roll here, is up less than 1% a year for the whole time. It's up 14.13% for 15 years and 1 week. Aren't you excited? And don't you want to listen to those guys on TV that the last 3 months have been telling you to buy the NASDAQ because the NASDAQ 4 months ago finally got even from where it was in March of 2000. They kind of just leave that out. But they say, hey, put your money in the NASDAQ. So all you people who listen to Cramer and some of the other idiots on TV who are telling you to put money in the market at these high numbers, well, welcome to reality. If we go back and look at the NASDAQ, as I said, is up 0.0094% per year and up a total of 14.13% for 15 years in a week. If that doesn't excite you, nothing will. The S&P 500 closed 12/31/15 at 1922. So where's it stand? If we go back to 1999, it closed at 14/69/25. That means the S&P 500, folks, that's the top 500 growth stocks in America, is up a whopping 2.05% per year. If you think that's growth, I got a bridge I'll sell you real cheap, because that is terrible growth. This last week was one of the worst weeks in the stock market history that compares to 87 and 1929. Do I need to tell you what 1929 was? For all you newbies out there, and many of us listening were obviously not alive in 1929, although I've been accused of it. The fact is that market crashed and didn't come back for a long, long time. And our market has just not been doing anything since 1999. And I hate to tell all you people out there who are diehard Bill Clinton fans, but when Bill Clinton left office, this economy was in shambles and heading into a deep recession. George Bush inherited that, and also had 9/11 happen on his watch. 8 months, I say 8 months after he took office, after 8 years of Bill Clinton. If 9/11 was to be prevented, why in the hell wasn't it prevented under Bill Clinton's watch? Maybe he was too busy in the White House. I don't know. And you could take that and look it up and see what he was doing in the White House. I don't think it was the people's work. But anyway, I digress. Listen, if you got a question about investing or you got a question about the markets, this is your opportunity. Pick up the phone, give us a call, because your money does matter. And what you do with your money over the next 7 to 9 years are going to be critical with the amount of money you have to live the rest of your life on. So believe me, this is the time. This is not the time to panic. This is the time to be calm and invest wisely. You know, there's no foolish question when it comes to your money. So pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, or toll free, 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with Carl's comments. You're listening to Investing Simplified on the Great Northwest Network.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over 3 decades, and its 9 attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and partner of the Warren Allen Law Firm, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Carl Jepson.
All right, send lawyers, guns, and money.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. It is the time for Carl's comments, but I understand we have a telephone caller on the line.
We've got a caller. Cheryl has a question about retirement.
Hello.
Hi.
I just want to know, since the market's tanking right now and real estate is very high, if you have about $300,000, where are you supposed to put it?
Well, you're not going to like my answer. I would not put it in real estate because I believe as this market crashes, and I think we will have a crashing market eventually, I'm not sure it's right now yet, but I believe also real estate's going to go down. In fact, when I attended the economic summit in September, a very prominent estate man, one of the smartest real estate guys in the country, was talking, and he's predicting that real estate prices are going to go back to 2000. So if you have that money, I'd hold it in cash. If you're a real estate person, I'd hold it in cash because a great buying opportunity is going to come to you.
Okay. What about energy? Should we invest in energy at all or just hold on to it?
Right now, I wouldn't invest in anything. I would wait till the dust settles.
Okay, sounds good. I'll keep listening on Saturday.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Good question. We have a caller, Jeannie, on the line, who's 63 on Social Security, low tax investments. Are you there?
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Eugene.
Okay.
But it's all right. My question was, can you give me any tips on investing for the future with a fixed income? I'm on Social Security. I'm a 63-year-old white male. And I'm interested in trying to invest for the future. On if you have any tips on how to do that without being taxed or, you know, having to forfeit my benefits.
Well, Eugene, I assume you're over 62.
Yes, sir.
Okay. How about 66?
3 years down the road.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. If you're Carl, I won't say that. Anyway, listen, Eugene, one of the things I would do right now is I would be very careful if you have, you know, and I don't know, you know, without knowing your total assets you have to invest. And of course, we're on the air, so nobody knows who you are. So what total assets do you have to invest?
Well, total. About $4,000.
The only thing I would do is put that money in a money market at the bank. You cannot afford to lose any of it.
Money market.
Yep, absolutely. You cannot afford to lose a penny.
Okay.
Yep, that would be your safest place right now.
That'd be through the bank?
Yeah, you go to a bank or a credit union, put the money in a money market account, it'd be federally insured. You have no risk on your money, and You should not be investing in any kind of stocks or equities at this point.
Okay.
Okay.
On a money market, now that would draw interest?
Yeah, it's only going to pay about 20 basis points, but here's the good news. It's never going down.
Okay.
So you're not going to lose anything.
Okay.
That's your best bet.
Do you happen to know the minimum amount that they take on a money market?
Most banks, it's $1,000.
$1,000?
Yeah. So with $4,000, you can easily set up a money market account.
Okay.
Yep. And I would do it, you know, if you belong to a credit union, they usually pay a little higher than a bank.
Right.
So that's what I would do.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Eugene. Good question. Thank you. We got another caller. Looks like Les has a health reimbursement or retirement incentive.
Les, are you there?
Sure. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And your question?
Yeah, my employer is considering setting up health reimbursement account for people as an incentive for retirement. And I'm wondering if that money would be taxed as regular income when it's put into that account, or how does that work?
I'll go ahead and take this. An HRA is a yes. Very, very good thing for the employees. Basically, what's going to happen is it's kind of a supplement to your group insurance. You can't just have a standalone HRA anymore. What's going to happen is if you have out of pocket costs, co-pays, those type of things, even some things that insurance doesn't cover, you can turn those into your employer. They will reimburse you. What happens is it actually lowers your reportable income down on your W-2, so you're in a sense you're not taxed on that amount. You get a deduction for that, and so it's a very good thing. As much that you can run through your HRA is a very good thing.
Okay, well, the problem is they won't be my employer anymore if I retire. That's an inducement for retirement, you know.
Yes, that is another wrinkle. Yes.
Well, Kevin, can he do an HSA after he retires?
Probably so. If you've got, if you're picking up the COBRA payments, and it depends on the plan. It has to be a very specific type of plan. Yes, you can do it. The big answer is yes, with a lot of caveats to make sure it works. But yes, you can do an HSA, which basically allows you to put money into an account, get a deduction for it, take it back out to pay medical expenses. Very similar type of arrangement.
And you might check with the company that's offering the program to your employer, because they probably offer one, an HSA, after you leave.
Exactly. So definitely, find out what plans are available with your employer. So,
okay, because it would be used to pay for supplemental insurance to Medicare. Basically, I mean, is what it would be used for. Does that work for that?
The HRA or the HSA?
Well, they're calling it an HRA, but you're calling it something else.
Well, so. How soon are you going to retire?
Well, this needs to be done by June if this plan goes through.
Okay, but how old are you?
70.
Okay, are you going to continue working?
Well, not with these benefits. That would be a big step forward, you know. So,
mm-hmm. Well, definitely ask the employer the details on the plan of what's allowed. The many plans have many different types of options. Off the top of my head, I don't know if you can use that for insurance premiums and get that reimbursed. My gut feeling is no, but I would definitely ask them on that.
Yeah. Okay. Just like everything else involving retirement, it's pretty confusing. So
it is, and definitely sit down and take the time to go over the information they have, and if you need to contact one of us to go over it, we do a lot of that and can kind of go point by point with you on that if need be.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Les. We got another caller on the line here. I think it's Frank has a question about cash.
Hello, Frank. Are you there?
Hello there. We've got Henry.
Morning,
Henry. Are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I'm here. Question?
Yeah, question. Okay, great.
is a credit shelter or bypass trust to allow, let's say I passed away, for allow my wife to take my IRA, my bank, well, all our things are joint anyway and owned by the trust. What is that credit shelter or bypass trust? How important is that for my wife to transfer things that I own to her?
Okay, well, first of all, we got to separate out the IRA. Just pretend that's got to sit on the side path. But then the other part of it is, for assets that are in your name only, or you know, maybe if you have them in a trust or whatever, but they're your assets, and they're going to be, they would ordinarily be transferred to your wife at your death. Then what the purpose of the credit shelter trust is to allow for the $1 million exemption for you when you die, the Oregon State $1 million exemption, to be applied so that...
Washington State, Carl.
Oh, $2 million then. $2 million. Okay. $2 million for to be used for your wife's estate. And then that way, this trust sets up and pays your wife all of the income and as much of the principal as is necessary for her health, education, maintenance, and support for as long as the money lasts. And then she also gets whatever's left that you distributed to her tax-free. So then depending on how much was left, your estate, then when she dies, her side of the equation, the stuff that went to her outside the bypass trust or credit shelter trust, she gets to use her $2 million exemption. So that means that you together could totally pass about $4 million. But the good thing is that in the credit shelter trust, it's never taxed again. And so as a practical matter, it could conceivably appreciate over a period of years. And actually, you could, you know, theoretically transfer more than $4 million tax-free. So that's the purpose of the thing. There are some limitations on the spouse. She can't just, you know, go in and take the thing out and, you know, buy a boat or something. But, I suppose she could. But as a practical matter, that runs into some problems with future beneficiaries if she, you know, tries to squander the trust. But some people like an independent trustee for a credit shelter trust, but most spouses don't like them that way. So does that answer your question? I'm not sure that it...
In other words, it's necessary to achieve the tax exemption, and without it, you might be taxed more.
Well, yeah, because let's say you don't do that. Let's suppose all of your property goes to your wife, and your wife has an estate of, by that time, including yours, $5 million, okay? Well, she then later dies. It's not taxable to her when you die because it's a transfer. It's a marital deduction. So it's an unlimited marital deduction. It goes to the wife, no problem, no tax. So then, though, she's got a $5 million estate. She dies a little bit later. All of a sudden, you subtract $2 million from her estate, and then your heirs are going to be taxed on $3 million of that $5 million estate.
I understand that.
So if you had the credit shelter chest, that number would be reduced to $1 million to be taxed on.
Okay. So, well, I appreciate your high figures. I wish that were true. But anyway,
I'm an optimist.
I understand the $4,000 limitation there.
Yeah. So if you're well under the $4 million, you don't have to, you know, worry that much. Well, I mean, if you're over two, though, if you're over $2 million, you still need to probably at least have the ability to fund a credit shelter trust. And that can be done in the documents.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we read through our documents, and we didn't see anything like that.
Well,
there's everything else in there, including the kitchen sink, but nothing about what you've talked about before and what we've been thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're over $2 million, I would go ahead and review the trust or will.
You mean with an attorney?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You bet.
Thank you, Carl.
Good question. We got another caller, but before we take that call, I want to mention to Frank, who's holding, for some reason, the line stuck and we can't get your call. So, Frank, if you could recall back. We've got a call. Joe has a question about disability and 401k retirement. Joe, are you there?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Like I told the caller or the screener there, when my wife retired she went out on disability through her work, and her 401k was about $14,000. And we took that money and opened up a different account with the company that takes care of my 401k at work. And now what made me think about this is when the caller called in about $4,000 and he wanted to know what to do with it. Now, I would like to take that money out of where she had put it in and kind of just hang on to it, like you said, and kind of like ride the storm out.
How old is she?
And I'm just...
Yeah.
She'll turn 61 in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And what's roughly your combined income? What's your adjusted gross income for the year?
Annually? About $44,000.
Okay. So you'd be subject to 10-15% federal income tax, possibly, on that withdrawal of $14,000 plus. Are you an Oregon resident?
Yes.
So another 9%. You'd lose probably about a quarter of it, I would say, to taxes. And then you'd be looking at, you know, putting it into a different investment.
Yeah, but here's an idea. You set up an IRA for her, right? You transferred the money from her 401k into an IRA.
Yeah, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, is the IRA with a mutual fund or with a brokerage account?
Oh. To be honest, I couldn't tell you. I can't remember right now what we did.
Okay, here's the quickest way to do it. If you have it with a mutual fund or a brokerage account, you pick up the phone, you call your broker, and tell them you're concerned about the market and you want to go to cash. Both those vehicles have money market accounts you can move the money into, and they're not going to go down. You know, they may go down a little bit, but not much. Money markets and mutual funds and brokerage accounts are not the same And this is very careful. People need to understand this. They are not the same as bank. Now, some companies, some of the firms that we work with, like on TD Ameritrade through our office, we can put money people into a money market, and it's FDIC insured. But some of them are not. So you need to ask the question is, are they guaranteed? What is my risk? What is the downside? What's been the earnings on this the last 10 years? Get some numbers, but you know you're already paying them, even though you may not be paying a fee or getting a bill. Believe me, you're paying that brokerage firm or that mutual fund every single year for service. So get what you're paying for. Pick up the phone and call.
Okay.
Okay.
So what you're saying? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. That's okay, Joe.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is, when I call them, tell them about the situation in the market and everything, and ask them about turning it over to a mutual fund account?
No. I don't know what you're in.
Well, I mean,
depending on what you're in, I would call whoever's servicing that for you and see if they have the option of moving it into a cash account for you.
Okay. And if they don't?
Well, if they don't, they're, give me a call. And I'll tell you how to do it.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Yeah, because that's a lot of money for it just to be thrown away for nothing.
Yeah. Well, long term, I still think the market's long term. 10 years from now, are going to come back, but I think it's going to be a while before they come back strong. So I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yep. Good question.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your help, and if I have any problem, next week I'll let you know what they said.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break and come back with some more of Carl's comments.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and our lines are ringing hot and heavy, and we're going to take another caller here. I do have a comment for Joe to finish off. We'll make a comment later in the show about his situation, but let's go ahead and take our next caller.
Okay, we got a call. Ed, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And you got a question about inheritance to children?
Some money my folks left us that it's in a life benefit trust that we set up that way, so it'd be generational skipping. But so it's actually my kid's name, but I have the use of it. We have left it just intact. As we're going through the life estate planning and stuff, we set it up with a wealth manager guy. It's about $400,000 as it stands right now. It's gone through volatility of the markets for the last 15 years. As you said, it's, we're probably about 4% up, 3.5% maybe. So he's done better than the market, but not fabulous. And then obviously we took a pretty good hit this last week. He invests across pretty much low-risk stuff. A lot of it's bond funds and such like that. But anyway, my question is, it sounds like if I'd listened to you a month ago about getting out of the market and putting it into cash or something. Is that what you're still recommending?
Well, you mean as far as on the investment of that? No, I need a little clarification. This is long-term money for your children?
Yes.
Okay, how old are they minors?
No, they're adults.
Okay, at what age do they get this life trust when you pass away?
Yeah, when we pass away. I mean, it's really there for our use if we need it, although we don't, at least not right now.
Okay.
And so we're trying to leave it intact.
Okay, who's paying tax on this trust every year?
The trust pays the tax.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because trust tax is kind of expensive.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, you're only paying taxes on the earnings of the trust. So, you know, it goes to them. I guess the benefit of this is that it skips taxes on my generation. So, it doesn't get taxed when it goes from me to them.
Okay, so this was a trust that was set up by your parents.
Right. So I set it up for my parents because I was executive of their estate, but essentially the same thing.
Okay, Carl, are you familiar?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I'm trying to figure out exactly what this is. But let me ask you this. Who gets the income from this trust?
Right now it's just compounding in the trust.
Okay, so that's why
I have the ability to access the income. I've used the income off the trust. I have use of the principal. It's just a generational skipping.
Okay, so the money, that's why it's getting taxed to the trust, is because you're just holding on to the money. Okay,
right.
If you distributed the money to whomever, I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, but it seems to me that if you distributed the income to you, it would be taxable in your return, and if you distributed the income to your kids, who, as I understand it, are adults, it would be taxable on their return. And then the principal would say, of course, more or less the same if it's primarily an income kind of device.
Right.
So this is a generation skipping trust. We do see these set up. Usually it's for advanced estate planning. Obviously the point is to save taxes to our caller when he passes the wealth on to his children, and of course you want to have an estate and stuff. So his question regarding where should he have this money invested, I think we'd want to find out how much is in the trust, what your other assets are outside of the trust to make a good allocation, you know, in your whole.
Well, here's the other thing, Ed, is you guys are in Oregon. So is you and your wife's estate over $2 million?
It's probably close.
Okay. So then having that money out of your estate is a real good idea, because
right.
Obviously if you brought that into your estate, then you've got you're over the $2 million. So there. Okay. So if you're looking at long term for the kids, I think how are your kids financially set?
Not that great. I mean, they're not poor, but they don't have much savings.
Okay, what would be the odds they would cash this out?
Oh, when they got it, probably pretty high.
Okay, how old are you and your wife?
60s.
Okay, so, well, you know, I mean, both of you are in good health, hopefully.
Yes.
So, I mean, you could, you know, easily, you guys could live into your 90s for 30 years.
That's true.
You know, one of you could, yeah. And so I would think investing this on a long-term basis, because you're probably not going to use it. The other question would be possibly if, you know, you got any grandchildren that want to go through college, can this go to the grandchildren or does it have to go directly to the kids?
Actually, we do have ability to kind of designate some for education and stuff, because I've got full, I'm the trustee of the trust, so.
Well, let me say what I would, you know, everybody's different, so it depends on your feelings and how you feel about certain things, but since that money's in the trust and you're paying tax rates on it, which are relatively higher than individual tax rates, I would think if this money could be used to help family members while you're alive, you get to see the joy of having that happen. You get to see the smile on their face when you help them with either college or pay off a house,
right,
or whatever it might be. I think that's a great tool to use.
Okay, good point.
Yeah, and so, you know, what I tell a lot of my clients is, a lot of my clients, they get in their 80s and they realize they have all this money, but they, you know, they got the money, but their kids are getting older and their grandkids are going to college, and suddenly, you know, sitting down at Christmas time, giving each of them a check for a gift of, you know, $15,000 is not a bad thing to do at around the table. And they get to see the smile on their face, because when you're gone, I believe in heaven, but I still would rather be there and see the smile on their face than see it from heaven.
All right, good advice.
Okay.
One last question for you. What about bond funds? Do you feel like they're worth a better strategic place to put long-term money at this stage?
Okay, in our managed portfolios, we buy and sell bond funds. We don't hold on to bond funds. I think if you're going to trade, if you're in a trading platform where you trade bond funds, I don't mind it. If you're buying and holding bond funds, I wouldn't do it right now, because I think we're going to be going into another, and we've already been in a 15-year, but I think we're going into another 7 to 9 year of very, very low interest rates.
Right.
So, therefore, bonds are not going to – they may end up paying – and they have, over the last 15 years, bonds have outperformed the stock market 2-to-1. And I think that's – I think that could very easily happen again in the next 7 to 9 years.
Okay.
Good questions.
All
right. Just a second, Ed. Oh. Yeah.
And just one last comment, Ed, regarding the, you know, spending down the trust. Don't do – first off, keep your personal assets under $2 million and then work on the trust.
Absolutely.
Once you're over the $2 million, you don't want to spend down something that's already going to be free from inheritance taxes. So.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Good advice.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, we've got another caller on the line here holding. Steven has a question about a write-off on a purchase of a tool box for work. Kevin, sounds like you're bailiwick there.
Hello.
Are you there, Steven?
Yes, I am. Okay, so basically I bought a toolbox for work. I traded in that same toolbox and got an $11,000 toolbox. Trade-in value was given about $7,000, and I financed the rest. How much of that can I actually write off?
Okay, and you're an employee or a business owner?
Employee.
You're an employee, okay. And this is paid for out of your pocket, an unreimbursed employee expense?
Yes.
Okay. And you traded in a box worth $7,000, and you took a loan for $4,000 for the difference. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. It's a little complicated, but the simple answer is the $4,000. However, if you still had some amount of that original $7,000 that you hadn't written off in the past, like you were depreciating it, you could take that difference also.
Yeah, I didn't write off the fourth. I mean, because I just bought that box earlier this year.
Oh, okay.
So what you're saying is I could write off the entirety of the box?
Yes, that's right. That's the first step. Is it sounds like you'll get the full 11. The drawback is that it has to go on a form 2106, which you have to itemize other deductions like home mortgage interest, property taxes, state taxes. Otherwise, your standard deduction, you know, may be higher depending if you're married or not. There's a lot of other calculations that kick in at this point, but you should be able to drop it on there, probably expense the whole thing in 1 year, and hope that it gives you a tax benefit.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Stephen. We got Frank on the line. He's got a question about cash.
Gentlemen, great program.
Thank you.
Just outstanding for the audience to know. So I'm a senior economist, senior finance corporate guy, CEO. That's not an ego statement. Here's the specific question. So we have a lot of money, and the federal estate tax is 5.5, and Oregon is 2. Gentlemen, how do you dance between those two partners in planning?
Very carefully.
Very. So, well, now, how large was the estate? Did you get?
Hey, Frank, we've got to take a quick break here, and we're going to come right back with your question and give you some answers.
7.5.
Okay, that's
great.
Okay, we'll
right
be right back.
Shaking all over.
Investing Simplified.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy, so is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
We do Investing Simplified.
Investments, tax questions, or legal concerns? Get them all answered now for free. Call Chuck, Kevin, or Carl for your answers. Call 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the Knowledge Trust.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. We're trying to answer Frank's question. Are you still around, Frank?
I'm still here, gentlemen.
Okay, well, thank you for waiting. I appreciate it very much. Well, I'm going to make an attempt at this, so let me make refresh myself here. If I understand it, the total estate is around $7.5 million, and then we're trying to kind of bridge the gap between the $5.43 million, or 10.5, I guess, 10.8, I guess it would be, on federal taxes, and the $2 million possible exemption or $1 million exemption for the state. There are a couple of ways to look at it, I think. It seems to me that one way that is maybe the simplest, in my view, would be to set up a trust of some sort, whether it be by will or otherwise, which creates a Q-tip trust. And I think you probably know more about them than I do, but yes. Which sets up a Q-tip.
Just so the audience knows, I'm an old tax lawyer, and I know exactly what you're talking about. So proceed.
Okay. So I would use what I call it. What is it? Sometimes it's called different names, but I call it a Q-tip because that's kind of what I call it. So anyway, what that does is it says, okay, the stuff that the spouse, then the surviving spouse, has the option to elect if she does nothing. That money, the decedent's money, goes into a trust called the Q-tip trust, and she has the right to all the income and a bunch of other stuff, and can get the principal for health, education, maintenance, and support, and she can have some I think limited powers of appointment and other stuff. But it's an irrevocable trust, and it does leave some control. It doesn't let her. It's more like a credit shelter trust.
It's called a bypass trust.
It's like a bypass trust, but a little bit more liberal than that. But if she does, and she's not going to be taxed on anything that stays that way, because of the unlimited marital deduction. So you don't want to do that. You want to give her the option, I think, to be able to elect as much as she wants, and so she could elect up to $1 million to make sure it fits into the state special marital property tax, and she could elect more that fits into the federal Q-tip election. That requires
her.
Hmm?
Can I stop you for a minute?
Sure.
Just for the audience. So when professionals like you and I discuss this, we don't pin each other's ears against the walls. These are theories, probabilities, and instincts. I just wanted to clarify that for your audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the main thing that this allows the surviving spouse to do is to elect to first of all defer the decision as to how much to shelter, if you will, until the first spouse dies, and then depending on what the tax laws are then, at least unless they changed way dramatically, it allows the spouse to maximize the use of the exemption amounts. And the marital
spouse,
deduction.
The first spouse, sir, is already gone.
Oh, so it's a whoops.
This is my 89-year-old mother.
Oh dear. Whew. Well, back the horse up and we'll start again. So we have one estate with one person and potentially one decedent,
and we already have one bypass trust.
And you have one bypass trust, and the I guess the part that's not in the bypass trust is the $7.5 million.
Half of it is, half of it is not.
Okay, so the bypass trust, I guess I'm not going to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to worry about that.
Okay, so it's the $3.5 million. So.
She's got to figure out what to do with $2.5 million.
Yeah, you have to figure out what to do with $2.5 million. It makes sense to me right now, particularly to give some gifts.
We've been doing that, but that's only $14,000 a year each person.
Well, right now, though, I think you could, because what you could do is, since she has $5.43 million to work with, you could give away up to $2.5 million, $2 million away to anybody she wanted to.
Gentlemen, can I just stop you for a minute?
Sure.
Please. The original specific question is, how do you do a dance between the 5.5, and this is for your audience as much as for me, how do you do a dance between the 5.5 exemption in the feds and only 2 in Oregon?
I'll take that one. Basically, there's an election called the Oregon Special Meritable Property Election, and
no spouse.
Well, he doesn't care in this case. He's just asking about.
Oh, you mean without?
Just in general.
Okay.
And so there's an election called the OS.
Just hold your thought for 10 seconds. I know there's a lot in my circles. I can't speak to the whole audience, but in my circles, a lot of us are faced with a stance because we have this $5.5 million exemption on the Fed side. And we only have 2 in Oregon.
Yep.
So how do you deal with that?
We see this quite often, and it's the Oregon Special Marital Property Election, where you set aside the full amount you want to put into the bypass trust. Only $1 million of that is sheltered by Oregon, and that's the election. The remaining difference, either you set up a subtrust or you keep separate accounting, and it's a headache for the accountant and the CPA, but...
Can I stop you?
Portion. We have other callers we have to get to. This is a very detailed planning, and I think we only have about 3 minutes left.
Actually, about right. 2.
Okay.
Just let me stop you. I just have one more question. You said subtrust. Would you define that, please?
Setting up a second trust. And you can either put it and separate the amounts into 2 trusts, or you can keep it in 1 and keep separate accounting. So that's typically how we do it. So, yeah. And so further discussion, we can take this off the air.
Yeah, because there are all kinds of things you can do for estate planning purposes. You can set up an islet, an irrevocable life insurance trust, put money into the trust, take it out of the estate, set up a gift program.
Since you have other callers, let's take it off the air. Okay. I will talk to Anna or David and leave my phone number and you guys call me.
Okay, great. Hey. Thank you. Okay, we've just got time to really, we've only got about 40 seconds here. So thanks to all you callers for calling today. It was a great show. This is what makes our show different than most shows. That's why we're the longest running financial show in the country that has a CPA, estate planning attorney, and a financial advisor. Kevin, how somebody get a hold of you?
We're at baker-colson.com, 503-666-5569.
And Carl?
WarrenAllen.com and 503-255-8795.
And you can get a hold of me at pfgwm.com at 503-253-3000 or toll free at 877-50-PRICE. Thank you very much for listening. Next week we have Rodney Johnson with the Dent Research. If you want to know what's going to happen in 2016, don't miss our show next week. It'll be the fastest hour on radio, and actually he gave me a little head sign here that we got about 30 seconds. So just so you know, next week we'll have Rodney Johnson on the air for the first half of the show. And if you've got questions about the economy, I would highly recommend you give us a call and talk to Rodney. He'd be more than happy to answer your questions. Kevin?
And Joe, I remember my comment for you, and we'll address it next week or the following.
Can you do it in 20 seconds?
Okay. Well, there is a very big difference between IRAs and 401ks and what they're invested in. There's a tax difference and there's an investment difference. And so we'll cover those differences. That's a confusion.
That'll be a great subject to talk about next week. Yep. Thank you very much for listening to Investing Simplified. Have a great week and think about our show next Saturday.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Paging Dr. Price. Paging Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.
Kilmeade, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, The Dana Show, and Lars Larson. The Six Pillars of Freedom on Freedom 970. KUFO AM, Portland.